We have Sarah on the line. Sarah, are you there?
Hi, how's it going?
Oh, yeah, good. All right, so we have Sarah here to talk about. We were speaking to her actually last week. She's a community activist that were from Geelong that is was heavily involved in supporting the sort of the Geelong refinery strike and in Corio, and since then there's actually been a big victory. So we're here on the radio talking, going to be talking to Sarah about, you know, what has happened, you know, since we can, the actual outcome of the strike.
Yeah, so, last week it was in a bit of a difficult situation because it wasn't too clear how much I could say and how much I couldn't. So in hindsight, sorry, it was a bit of a non-interview, but just to give a bit of an overview, the two unions, the Australian Workers Union and the AMWU, the metals, led a walkout on Wednesday morning last week, and that was primarily over safety concerns but also parity, because they were bringing in new contract groups at like 30% below the wages of the permanents. Thursday, the unions were given an injunction notice by the Supreme Court, and that's when the community had to take over. So from the late Thursday onwards, it was a community picket, holding the gates down there. But what has come out of it is all workers at Geelong Refinery have been guaranteed a 35-hour week.
Okay.
And a safety audit. So this is the key thing. Work safe. Viva Energy representatives and the unions are going to do a full site safety audit. And Viva has promised that any safety concerns will be addressed immediately. So that's a pretty good win.
And do you know what the what sort of safety concerns there were?
What I can figure out is it seems to be a cultural problem at the business. A lot of, like, cutting corners, not taking safety seriously. One of the contract groups there didn't even have union HSRs, health safety reps. So they kept asking the company, we want HSRs, we want HSRs. And Viva Energy was saying, no, we've paid, we've employed, safety people who are Viva Energy employees, so no, you don't need HSRs. This is for one particular contract group. I think it's more of a cultural problem, but having said that, in the lead up to the walkout, there were 7 major safety incidents. WorkSafe was out on site 4 times. And I believe the straw that broke the camel's back was a worker fell into, scalding water. And from the knee down on one leg, has sustained first and second degree burns. And this week he was, up at the hospital in Geelong getting skin grafts. And I've seen the photo of his leg. And suffice to say, it was pretty messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's important to have a safe workplace in any workplace, in any industry, but particularly something like a refinery. If something goes wrong, that's real serious.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, if something does go wrong with that refinery, the blast radius, you can probably kiss goodbye to half of Geelong. And, you know, part of the reason the community was there was not just the safety of individual workers, but the fact that Viva Energy, through its budget cuts and staff cuts, wants to get rid of their on-site their fireys. It's a private fire squad. So they're the first responders. So if Viva does get rid of those, then that means, what, an extra 10, 15, 20 minutes before CSA gets out there. And by then it could be too late. Goodbye, Corio. Goodbye, Northern Suburbs. The train line from Geelong to Melbourne literally goes right over the top of that refinery. So there goes the train line. Mm. It's just pretty disaster.
Yeah, they've got to have their own fires. It's obvious.
Yeah. I guess one question I have is sort of tell the story of, you know, what have the workers won, and, you know, how did the campaign kind of develop as it sort of went along?
Yeah, well, I kind of felt like we were just warming up to it when they had the win. Sorry, I'm on another picket at the moment, as you can probably tell, there's trucks going by. So we were there for 7.5 days all up, for 24 hours, and we were covering 4 gates, like 4 access points to the refinery. We were there as a community picket. We had signs saying, "This is the community picket, please do not cross." But physically we were not blockading. Like, we did not have the people power there to physically stop any trucks if they wanted to go through. But all the different contracted groups and other outside contractors respected that line. And for 7.5 days, the only people that were on site were the operators. And those workers, like, had to be on site for safety issues. So everyone else, there was nothing going in. The only thing that was going in were things that were absolutely critical to maintaining safety, because, you know, it would have been pretty stupid if we were out there campaigning for workplace safety and, you know, the nitrogen tanker didn't get in and it all blew up.
Mm.
You know, we had to make sure that there was some give and take.
Mm.
But, yeah, most of the workers, the truck drivers, you know, were pretty respectful. They'd rock up to the line. Someone would scramble up the side of the track and say, "Hey, mate, community picket, we're here for safety. You know, it's not safe for you to go in here." And they'd be like, "Yep, sweet as, no worries." And they'd turn around. But in terms of the win, like I've already said, so that's the 35-hour week, and the full site safety audit. And, you know, out of that safety audit, they may get, you know, they should get other things out of that, especially when Viva is quoted in black and white in the local paper and in the agreement that any safety issues raised in that audit will be addressed immediately.
Mm.
And I can tell you right now that if it's not addressed immediately, there are workers there who will be walking out again.
Yeah,
because
nice.
They've, you know, they've had it. We caught up with some of them for drinks last night to celebrate. The crew that were staffing the gates for 7.5 days, they've all gone back to work. They came straight from work to have some drinks. And they're saying, you know, if this safety audit is bullshit, then sorry to swear on radio. Like, if it's not legit, they'll be walking out again.
Mm. Yeah, that's sort of like the question I was going to sort of ask is, you know, yeah, you sound like you have a victory, but what happens next if it didn't follow through with?
What about the undercutting of wages by bringing in those contractors and putting them on less pay than the permanents? Which is usually contractors get paid more as a kind of compensation for the fact that they're not getting, you know, a holiday pay and all those kind of benefits that a permanent gets. So this practice of undercutting pay with contractors, disgusting. It's like what's been happening down here at the Abbotsford Brewery, Carlton United.
Oh, exactly. Yes. Yeah. No, it's very similar. And, like, this is happening everywhere, across all industries. So we were primarily the workers that voted on Wednesday morning to walk out. There was about 300 of them. They were UGL, which most of them are the permanents. Mm-hmm. You know, they're the ones that are going to be ongoing. A lot of them are locals. And then the other contract group is Wood Group. And those workers are on a non-union EBA. They were brought in with a 30% pay cut undermining the UGL EBA. And it was wood groups that didn't have HSRs and this, that and the other. And so those workers were brought in for the shut. So, you know, they just fly around Australia. They pulled apart the cracker, which is the big thing that refines all the oil. So these blokes, you know, scaffolders, maintenance workers, that kind of thing. And it was them that were sort of, I mean, everyone is at risk at Beaver, to be honest with you. But it was just one of the scaffolders was the one that had that burn incident. And so the UGL blokes, some of them knew, they realised that, well, you know, if they're bringing in these, you know, guys from Wood Group on a non-union EBA and undercutting our wages by 30%, you know, how long do you think it's going to be before they get rid of us? You know, get rid of our EBA. So, I mean, not everyone realised that. There were a lot of workers there who've never done a picket before, even though they're union members. So, you know, it wasn't no one's saying it was a perfect campaign, but certainly there was a lot of lessons learnt by the community and by the workers themselves as well.
Sounds like it's an unfinished story in that the workers have been emboldened by this practice, and maybe that contract thing is a bit of a simmering thing that's going to come up again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, we were just working with these two contract groups, but when we were down there, there's another whole section of the refinery, because, like, if you see the refinery, it's huge, and there's different businesses operating in the space, and there's another sort of field of storage tanks, like storage cylinders, and there's the workers building those are all 457s, and the workers in, like, the UGL and Wood Group guys know that, well, if our safety is crap, if we're getting paid 30% below the EBA, you know, what are the 457s copping? And so there's no doubt that those workers are, you know, up against even worse conditions. And it's probably just sheer dumb luck that no one has actually died out on that site yet.
Right. We're getting very low on time now, Sarah. But,
no worries.
Thank you very much for that. I would ask you a concluding question, but we actually are very low on time. So thank you very much for being on the show. And we'll, if there's any further developments, like say, for example, they don't follow through on their promises, then maybe we'll be hearing from you again on what's going to happen next.
No worries. Keep an eye on Green Left. There'll be a full write-up next week's paper.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Word. Rock
on. Thanks, comrades. Bye.
Bye.